Welcome to the podcast. It is Pat and Stu in for Glenn today. We get into a little bit of the craziness with mask mandates still kind of going on and the interactions between individuals there. A very strange video we'll kind of go through, as well as the video on Ron DeSantis we can get into a little bit today. There is a little bit of bizarre news around the Georgia law. Still the Major League Baseball situation pulling the All-Star game out of Georgia. This comes with all sorts of bizarre complications. We'll talk about those. And we talk about my journey yesterday into an absolute super spreader event. The first major league sporting event occurring in the United States since the pandemic began. It was a baseball game here in Texas. Of course, obviously America's team, the Toronto Blue Jays, was able to come out victorious in that game, but that's not really the detail most people are interested in. We'll give you the details of what that was like going back into, I don't know, some sense of normalcy in our lives. You can go to blazetv.com/stew, enter the promo code Stew. You'll save $10 off your subscription to Blaze TV, as well as you can check out Pat Gray Unleashed as well on Blaze TV. We're all here on podcast too. You get this podcast free every day, so you can subscribe there. Also, mention Pat is making a live appearance this weekend in Fort Worth, Texas, and you can get free cookies out of the deal. Pat, where do people go for this?
Check out the website for the address. I don't have it memorized yet.
You are terrible. You're a terrible spokesperson.
I am not a sales guy. Can you at least tell people? Kexi.com is where you can find the address.
Kexi.com. How do you spell that, Pat?
K-E-K-S-I.
All right. Here's the podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Talking about the racist law in Georgia, how impossible it is to vote there. Oh, they just put up every barrier they possibly can.
It really is incredible. It really is incredible. Like, for example, you know, if you want to vote absentee, you have to write your driver's license identification number on the outside of the envelope.
Exactly. And see, no minorities have driver's licenses. So that's an obvious attempt to keep minorities from voting.
Well, I mean, if you don't have a driver's license, you could present your state identification card, which is free from the state. I mean, that's...
Yeah, but they don't know where to get it. So they can't get one of those either.
They can't?
No.
All right. Well, I guess they could then maybe present their passport. Like if they had just presented their passport, that would...
Like minorities have passports? Where do you think they're going? No, they don't have passports.
They don't.
No.
Well, I guess they could just put the last four digits of their social security number on the envelope then. That would be
as enough. If they had social security numbers.
They don't have social security.
No. Well, not minorities. Whiteys have social security numbers, sure.
Only white people have social security numbers?
They're given them at birth, but not minorities.
Okay, so
and if they do have them, they can't remember them. What are you supposed to remember the last four digits of your social security number? Who can do that?
It's a lot of digits.
It's a lot.
There's four.
Yeah.
There's one.
At the same time?
And then there's two.
Yeah.
And then there's three. And then you also have to remember
the
number four.
All the way to four.
All four digits.
Yeah.
That's really hard. Well, if let's just say you had lost your state identification card.
Okay.
I guess maybe a white person, this could apply, because apparently minorities don't have ID.
Right.
But you could just present a copy of it. If you happen to have a copy laying around that you had for other paperwork, you could submit that. But that's not going to help you.
No.
So what about presenting a valid employee photo ID issued by any branch of the United States government?
Oh, okay. So you must have a job now.
Yeah.
You got to have a job in order to vote.
That's a big hurdle for people to clear.
It is.
Okay, well, maybe.
It is.
Did you happen to be a member of the U.S. military? Because you could use your U.S. military identification as well as a chance to identify yourself.
So only if I'm a veteran. And I have to go kill people on foreign soil. then I can go ahead and vote.
All right. Well,
yeah,
that's another way. No, I guess it's not that way. You also could submit a current utility bill. Do you have electricity?
A current utility bill?
A current utility bill. Yeah, is that too much to ask?
Well, no, they can't pay. They can't pay utility bills. They don't have any money. They don't have a job.
All minor,
yeah,
really.
I don't have jobs.
Gosh, I need to. I don't know.
This
enough.
Is why it's so hard.
Yeah, it is. Okay, you could submit a current bank statement. Then it's all in the law.
Oh, they have bank accounts now, like Whitey does.
All right. Well, fine. If you can't do those now, 10 different things. Any one of the 10.
Those are 10?
Mm-hmm. What about the 11th, which is submit a recent paycheck?
Again, with the job.
Okay.
Okay.
Then they open it up a little bit because I feel like these first 11 are very restrictive.
Oh, yeah.
Who can come up with one of
them? Total oppression.
You know, what about the 12th one, which is submit other current government documents? So I don't know what that is exactly, but like, let's say you got a stimulus check from the government.
Yeah.
I guess that would be a current government document.
Uh-huh.
You could show that, you could submit that. I mean, everyone under a certain income range got those. So you really should be okay to just submit something like that.
Like a current government document.
Yeah.
So I gotta know where my pay stub is. That's what I have to do in order to vote.
I mean, this does not seem that restrictive, but I will say, after these now 12 different ways, you could get your prove your identity for absentee voting without an excuse. By the way, you do not need an excuse. You could fill out a provisional ballot with a sworn statement of penalties for false statements. So you could still, even with none of these things, you can still vote.
Except minorities can't swear.
They can't?
No, they don't. They don't like to swear.
Wow. I mean, look at this.
Yeah.
Could they possibly have gone out of their way more to do two things? One, have some sort of record that the person who's voting is actually a citizen and eligible to vote. And two, making it very easy for everyone who is a citizen and eligible to vote to actually pull it off.
I mean, there's, what else could you possibly do to make it any easier to, because they've provided for all of those excuses. Well, minorities don't have IDs. Well, minorities don't know where the DMV is. Well, minorities can't get online. They don't have to do any of those things or have access to any of that in order to present something that says it's them. They can present any sort of government documentation. That's unbelievable.
It really is.
And the last one is, you just go ahead and vote and you can work it out later.
Right. Which is, you know, good.
That's amazing.
Yeah. People don't realize the provisional ballot thing goes on all the time. But like, if you, for example, lose your ID card, you know, like, it's like if you were to, you know, be on a flight and you were trapped in another country and you didn't have your ID somehow. There are systems to work around that to get you on the flight. It just can't be, if tons of people did it, they wouldn't be able to do it. But like, occasionally that happens to people, right? They get robbed and they need to get back home. And eventually it might take a while. You might have to miss a few flights, but eventually you can get on a flight back home usually. The provisional ballot thing happens every single election. It's one of the things that gets counted last. So when they say there's still some provisional ballots out there, we need to look at those when you're going through the election counting time. And these things are out there. Like, if you go to your, if you go to vote and you don't have your proper ID or you don't have some sort of qualification, maybe you moved out of the wrong district, you can cast a provisional ballot and they'll hold it basically and look at it and say, hold on, we're going to hold on to this and we're going to see if it needs to be counted or not. Can you prove that, you know, is it legit? Now, a lot of times if it's a blowout election, you don't have to worry about those things, but in a close election, it can make a big difference. And if you think just on principle, your vote should count. That's something that they do all the time for people, provisional ballots. It is one of these things that they have gone out of their way over and over again. And you have to remember, going back decades, like, this was much worse for people. They couldn't do any of these things. They had none of these access points to vote. This has all been opened up in massive ways over the last two decades. Some of it, I think, to real detriment of the voting system. I mean, we talked about how just sending out mass absentee ballots is probably not a good idea. All mail balloting, those sorts of things. But also the early balloting is coming so early now that it's hard to, you're voting without even all the information.
Yeah.
You're voting like 6 months early in half of these places.
I mean, that's
an exaggeration, but it's
in late September.
Yeah.
In some jurisdictions.
I mean, they were voting. People were casting their votes before the debates were over.
Yeah.
In 2020.
Yeah,
and there's certain sort of foundational things you should need to wait for to be able to cast your vote. Like right now, can we just, why don't we just send out absentee ballots right now and let people cast their vote? If they know they're going to vote Republican anyway, just put it on the R and then we'll just send it in now and get it started. Like, why not? You should be able to have at least the information of the debates, of the conventions, of the basic things that highlight an election calendar. You shouldn't be voting before they're over. It just sounds bizarre to me. Mm-hmm. But that happens in a lot of states now. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution went through this law, and they decided to look at how the law compared to other states. So, for example, no excuse absentee voting. That is in the law in Georgia. Voters can cast absentee ballots without offering an excuse in now two-thirds of the states, including Georgia. An excuse is required in one-third of the states. So Georgia is on the open side of that particular rule. The deadline to request an absentee ballot. 22 states allow voters to apply for absentee ballots less than 7 days before an election. 13 states set the application deadline 7 days before an election. Georgia becomes one of the 11 states that sets the application more than 7 days before the election. So they tons, 11 states now do it this way. It's now 11 days in advance. But like, the difference is between 7 and 11 days. Do we really think that like there's a Republican strategy here to stop minorities from voting between 7 and 11 days? Like, it's that big of a deal. Look, this is when minorities want to vote, 8 days before an election. That's when they want to get that ballot. Verifying absentee ballots. To verify the absentee identity of voters, 30 states match their signatures on absentee ballots with signatures already on file. 6 states require signatures but do not verify them. 8 states require a voter's signature plus the signature of a witness. 3 states require ballot envelopes to be notarized. Again, this is all much harder than it is in Georgia. 2 states require voters to submit a copy of some sort of ID.
To get it notarized?
Notarized. Anything.
That's a pain in the rectum.
I mean, I know there's a lot of notaries out there. There seems to be 15 million of them, and they're all very lovely people, but gosh, that is a pain. That is a pain in the butt to try to find somebody, to try to deal with the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I hate when I see, oh, this must be signed in the presence of a notary. I'm like, oh, no, please. Under SB 202, Georgia will become one of 4 states that will require voters to submit a driver's license number or other ID number. The others are Kansas, Minnesota, and Ohio. So a blue state, a purple state, and a red state. Many states require a driver's license or other ID to register to vote or to vote in person. Again, none of this stuff is out of line with other states. Like, they might be slightly on the restrictive side on some of these laws, slightly on the more loosely restrictive side of some of the others. But I really just don't think, here's another one. Early in-person voting is available in 43 states. 24 states, now including Georgia, allow some weekend voting. So less than half of the country allows one of the things that Joe Biden was complaining about. And you see that like places like New York and Delaware are more restrictive than Georgia in many ways. Chuck Schumer, Joe Biden, their home states are more restrictive than Georgia in many ways. I just don't, early voting periods range in length from 4 days to 45 days. Georgia is at 17. Again, they're not the most, the largest time period, but nowhere near the smallest.
And if you want, you can extend that to 19 days.
To 19 days.
In some counties. Mm-hmm. So you could use 2 Sundays.
2 additional Sundays, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which again is more than most of these, a lot of these other states. They don't do a lot of weekend voting.
I think Texas is it 2 weeks here? I think it's 14 days.
I don't even know.
So, yeah, it's again, longer than ours.
And stepping back from this for just a second. We get in these conversations and sometimes I feel like we're missing the larger narrative here. If you can't freaking make time to get to a poll or submit an absentee ballot within a multiple week period, you obviously just don't care. Yeah. Like, can we just be honest about it? Like, if you can't vote, the voting is, it's not always easy. Yes, at times it can be a pain in the ass. You're doing it basically every 2 to 4 years. A lot of people only vote in the presidential election. Mm-hmm. And it's not that hard.
It's not.
Do you care at all? If you care at all, you can get your vote in. That is really the line.
That's true.
It can't, it's that not automatic, true. Right? It's not like they come to your house and pressure you to give them an answer. But other than that, they pretty much do everything they can to make it easy.
And shouldn't there be some effort to vote?
It just seems it's not crazy.
Come on.
Look, do you care enough? If you don't care enough to make sure your ballot, your status is updated, if you don't care enough to have a freaking identification that's free from the state, if you don't care enough to show up on election day, all of this can be thrown out if you just show up on election day. If you don't care enough to do one of 9,000 basic steps, maybe, just maybe, you don't care enough. Maybe you don't care enough, and maybe there should be the very easiest of steps so that people who actually, I don't know, who have followed the news, who actually know something about the candidates, you know, it's not crazy to say, hey, this is a basic step of responsibility in a republic, and there are things you have to do. You have to pay taxes. There are steps to that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get a driver's license to drive. There are steps to that. There are steps that almost everyone seems to be able to accomplish. And it's much easier to vote than all these other things.
And assuming that minorities can't do any of those things is just racism.
Racism. Straight out racism.
It is.
It's basically saying you believe people with darker skin are incapable of basic tasks.
Yeah, and don't even know where the DMV is.
Right. That's insane.
It's ludicrous.
And how that is like the open... a progressive side of this argument is embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
You're just saying black people can't do basic things in civil society. How is that not racist? Every Republican I've ever talked to about an issue like this is fully confident that black people could get driver's licenses or get free IDs from the government if they need them or have a passport or have a government document.
And by the way, 72% of Americans favor ID when you vote.
Yeah.
Favor showing your ID when you vote.
And overwhelming.
72% don't agree on anything in this country.
Yeah, and some polls showed as high as 80%, including over 70% of African Americans.
Yeah.
Who are like, yeah, of course. What do you mean?
There's no reason not to.
They correctly would see it as you just being racist.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you don't think I can get an ID? You don't think I have a utility bill? I got,
it's madness.
I have electricity. You don't think black people have electricity? This is what the Democrats are propagating as the progressive mindset. And it is consistent with progressivism over the past 100 years. It's very consistent with it. The government needs to be there to stop black people from doing things they want to do because they'll do the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been consistent for a century at least. And going back before that, obviously... But I mean, you go to that Woodrow Wilson style of progressivism that is still very much alive on the left. And that is exactly what they're saying. It is just straight out racism.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
In Portland, they were... contemplating at a high school, they were contemplating a change in their school mascot. And what they thought might be nice is to have a mascot of a tree. And then they thought, wait a minute. Lynching. Trees are racist. And so that's a racist symbol. So we better put that on hold. So they tabled that and they didn't vote on the mascot being a tree. I guess that means that Stanford's mascot, you know, the big tree, is a racist symbol.
Trees are racist?
Yeah, trees are racist now.
And that's because...
because of lynching.
Mm-hmm. Really, though, it's not the tree.
No, I know.
That was the issue with the lynching.
Right.
I think it would be odd, like a rope would be an odd mascot for a team. But it's not really the rope's fault either. But at least
but
more
a noose
tight,
would be...
Yeah, at least tightly then, tied to, unfortunately, literally in this circumstance, tightly tied to the act, right? The tree is just, they're all over the place. Most trees not used for lynching.
Yeah, and there are 3 trillion trees on this planet. There are more trees on the earth than there are stars in the sky.
Now, I would say not more than half of them are used for lynching. Is that about accurate?
That's
1.5 trillion.
I'd say about that. Yeah, that's about right.
It's like, this is something that happened to, look, it was a terrible, terrible, terrible part of our history.
Yes.
We should point out, I think it was about a third of people who
were white
that were lynched, mostly people who were fighting on behalf of freedom for blacks. But it was a few thousand people who were lynched, and that's
too many.
Remarkably terrible.
Yes,
and it's a remarkably terrible part of our history.
Yeah.
Though I don't think vilifying the 3 trillion trees on the planet is the right reaction to it.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird.
It seems like a very strange reaction to that problem.
Huh.
Yeah.
You have some weird ideas.
What if it's like, well, you know what? We can get rid of lynching forever. Let's cut down all the trees. It's like, no, I don't think that would work.
No, it wouldn't.
Also, it could create some other negative side effects. Let's put it that way.
But that just makes trees top the list of racist things.
It tops the list?
Yeah, tops the list. There's a good percentage of things that are in fact racist on this planet, and I just want to alert you to it so that you can avoid these things.
That's helpful. I don't want to come off the wrong way.
Like dress shirts, obviously you don't want to wear a dress shirt because that's racist.
Wait, why is a dress shirt?
I guess minorities don't wear them, so
this is the reverse,
so ridiculous,
racism,
isn't it?
That term that's been thrown around for so long.
Yes.
It's the soft bigotry of low expectations.
Right.
It really is true here. Look at this. Dress
shirts
are racist.
And it's over and over and over. Gifted programs are racist because there's not enough minorities in the gifted programs.
Oh, my gosh.
So they eliminate gifted programs out of many, many schools. Oh, did you guys talk about the fact that newborn babies, if they're white, are in fact racist by the time they get to 3 months old. Now, black babies or Hispanic babies are, of course, not racist. But white babies become racist at 3 months old unless you talk them out of it before they get to that age.
How exactly would you do such a thing?
You just tell them. You just talk to them about race.
What if you threaten them with, you will not feed? There will be no food coming your way.
Then I think that might help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that might help.
Mm-hmm.
Dating apps are racist. Tiki bars are racist. Fossil fuels are obviously racist. I don't have to tell you that.
You probably do need to explain that because I don't understand it. My understanding is that lots of minorities use fossil fuels.
Really?
Yeah. It's actually a big part of their lives. Just like it's a big part of white people's lives.
Right. But the pollution that comes from those fossil fuels is mostly happening to the urban areas, the areas where minorities live.
Right. Because cars only drive in
only
areas
drive
where
there.
Minorities are.
And then apparently people blow all the pollution from the suburbs to the minority areas.
It's a dastardly plan, but they've uncovered it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Laws against genital mutilation are racist.
I'm sorry. Now you're
sheet music. I'm not even going to try to explain the laws against mutilation.
It's so obvious.
It's so obvious. Sheet music. We just found this out. I think it was last week we had this story that sheet music and classical music is racist because mostly white people do it.
Oh
yeah.
Okay.
And mostly white people wrote the sheet music for the classical music.
It's amazing. You know,
back in the day,
there is a thing in, you know, for symphony orchestras and Broadway and all sorts of things. I know orchestras is a big thing. They do it in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this blind audition process. And because they believe there was racism years and years ago, they implemented this blind audition thing.
All right.
Which is basically like one of these like shows you'd see, like The Masked Singer or whatever.
So they would just choose the best performers.
Yeah,
they wouldn't know the race of the performer.
It was
right?
The voice, I believe, right? Where they have the chairs that turn around so they're not facing the person as they sing.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't have any visual. They're just listening to the voice. And that's kind of what they did with like people playing violin, right? A cellist,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, okay.
Would be there playing an instrument. And probably a cello. And that would be the most sensible one for a cellist to be playing. And they would be playing and they would be behind, you know, some sort of screen so the people could not see them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was called this blind audition. It was sort of like the ultimate Martin Luther King version of this, right? Like it was an absolutely colorblind process. You'll be surprised to hear they want to get rid of it. Because you need to know what race they are so you can pick the minorities.
My gosh.
Now, that is just, you're just reinstituting racism on a different race.
Right.
But that is what they want.
There's so much of that happening now.
That is what the anti-racist movement is about. That is what white fragility is about. It's what all of this is about.
Mm-hmm.
This whole woke anti-racist craziness is just an excuse to implement racism. That's mm-hmm. what it is. Mm-hmm. And they, if you read their books, they will tell it to you. The only solution for past discrimination is current discrimination. The only solution for future discrimination, or for present discrimination, is future discrimination. They're advocating yes. discrimination as revenge on what they see are these terrible things happening to them today. And that is not the America that is supported in any of our founding documents or by Martin mm-hmm. Luther King. Like Martin Luther King, they are going to be tearing this guy's statues down in the coming years.
Shortly. Yeah, very, very true. Not killing black babies is racist.
Wait, not killing?
Well, yeah,
so
not
killing
having
black
access,
babies would be that, racist to me.
You would think so.
Like if you put like Planned Parenthoods in inner cities all over the country,
uh-huh.
and had the founder of Planned Parenthood who outwardly talked about getting rid of undesirables like African Americans, you'd think
would
be the racist position. But
right.
no.
But no, it's the opposite of that. How bizarre is that?
Very bizarre, Pat.
Quantum computing is racist. Apparently there's not enough minorities in the quantum computing industry. Architecture, racist. Disney films, of course, we found out Disney films are racist. So is Pixar. Dr. Seuss.
Let me ask you this: is the NBA on the list?
No, they're not.
The NBA is no. racist, or they're
no,
not racist.
They're not racist.
So, what exactly explains then the point that say 75% of all NBA players are black, considering only 13% of the population is black? What exactly explains that? Because I know if it was the opposite,
yeah.
we would know, right? We would know that it was racism that is the only possible cause of such a thing.
Well, that's the one place you can use the merit system.
That's the only place you
that's
can
use... That's the only place you can, yeah.
Unless, of yeah. course, a white player winds up being better than a black player, then you still can say it's racist.
right.
Right. Because I do not... To be clear, I do not yes. believe the NBA is racist against white people. I believe that African Americans have outperformed white
yes.
players
right.
and are better players.
Right.
Why that's okay to say, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it seems to be the ultimate merit-based society. If mm-hmm. you had good white players, they will make it. Because you know what? Everyone wants those jobs. And every single kid winds up playing in a league to try to get to that level at some point.
Yep.
So it's really hard to do anything other than merit-based. But yet we will see over and over again this idea that it's racist the other way. I mean, look, mm-hmm. there's no way to make that argument. You know, there was a time before Christian McCaffrey that there was no white running back who had been like over 1,000 yards in 3 decades.
Wow.
Now, why is that? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that is. But you want to talk about, if you wanted to make a case of racism, this position had no 1,000 yard. I think there was one other guy, the guy from Stanford did it before McCaffrey as well. But it was very rare. Let's put it that way. Peyton Hillis, he did it as well.
Oh, yeah.
But it was in between Hillis and I think it was like Craig James. Yeah. There was no white running back who wow. ran for 1,000 yards in all wow. of that time in the NFL. And in a country, by the way, made up of 70 to 80%
white people
that yeah. all want the job of the star running back. Mm-hmm. And none of them could get it for multiple decades. And it was just like, oh, well, that's just merit. Well, yeah, it probably was merit. Mm-hmm. But like sometimes races make because of cultural decisions, make different choices. They pursue different things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just mm-hmm. the way of the world. And to act like every single time there is a specific thing that you find a group to be underrepresented in, acting like that's racist is just stupid. It's just a stupid thing. It's as if you don't know human beings.
That's why nobody claims the NBA is racist.
Right.
Nobody claims the NFL is racist. Because it's just based on merit.
Yeah. They do claim it's racist, but they claim it in the opposite direction.
Right, because there's not enough black coaches or...
terrible black quarterback named Colin Kaepernick deserves to be put into the Hall of Fame despite right. sucking his entire career.
Gosh.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the racism scene. I think the NFL is something like 60% African-American in a country with 13% African-American members in its population.
Mm-hmm.
And we act as if this one quarterback who objectively sucked and was getting worse by the day, who lost his job twice to Blaine Gabbert, one of the times before he ever took a knee, lost his job to Blaine Gabbert. Okay. We act as if that is a representative representation of racism. It's bonkers. The league is made up of an African American population that is 4 or 5 times the size of its representation in our society. That cannot be a racist organization against African Americans, especially when you're talking about the jobs that are the most sought after.
And I mean, there are bad quarterbacks, and then there's Blaine Gabbert. So you know how bad that quarterbacking was when he lost his job to him. I got a couple more things to avoid because they're racist, just so that you don't run into these things and then, you know, get canceled because of your racism. The national anthem, of course, is racist. We found that out.
Of course, we know that. Anything to do with the beginnings of our country.
Yes, racism. Washington and Lincoln, we've found out how racist they are.
Very racist. Lincoln, especially. That
yes,
guy.
Thank you.
Oh,
thank
what you. A racist he is.
Merit-based admission is racist. But not merit-based sports. Don't get those two confused.
No, those please. Are totally non-racist. The now, most unracist thing.
Do you remember when the Betsy Ross flag was racist? Then it wasn't, but I think now it is again.
Oh, it's back?
I think it's back. Yeah, and this time.
Yeah, Glenn, by the way, at his museum across the way here, as they're putting together, I took a tour of it the other day. They have the Betsy Ross Nikes.
Oh.
They actually got a pair of them before they canceled them.
Really?
And he has a bunch of that sort of more recent cultural stuff that got canceled, which is
Pretty cool.
Even has a Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they're both over there. I saw them.
Okay, let's see. A white boxer knocking out a black boxer is racist.
Sure. I mean, you want to talk about racism.
Now that
shouldn't the white boxer allow the black boxer because of what's happened in our society over the past few hundred years?
Yes.
He should just stand there and get his face beaten.
Yes.
That's what should happen.
Now, this came from that YouTube guy. What was his name? He set up that.
Logan Paul.
Yeah. Yes. And he fought a black guy who was, I think, a basketball player formerly.
Okay.
And now is challenged him to a boxing match or whatever. And the white YouTuber knocked him out. I mean, that was one of the big knockouts that I've ever seen. That was just, I mean, he leveled him.
Yeah, I think I did see that highlight. Yeah.
Well, then the article was written. Wow, isn't that kind of racist? A white kid like that knocking out a black guy?
That's not supposed to happen.
That's not supposed to happen. Reopening schools, we have heard, is racist. Of course, all white people are racist.
Really, you could have started with that one. It's going to eliminate a lot of these other ones.
That's true.
If you're starting with the premise that all white people are racist, it's a lot of racism.
Fat phobia is racist.
Opera. That one I agree with, by the way.
Yeah, I do too.
Uh-huh. We as representatives of a certain community, we that one helps us. So therefore, we agree with it.
Opera, obviously racist. Milk. Milk is racist.
Well, it's very white.
The crosswalks are racist because they have the little guy on the signal to walk, and it's white, and it looks like a white guy, I guess.
Oh, it does?
According to the article I read, that's apparently a white guy. I'd never thought of him that way.
No, well, that's because you're racist.
Because
you're
privileged, racist, right?
And you're privileged to see other white people pictured
in
things. Now, of course, if you see a black person pictured on something, that's also racist.
Well, you can't.
Because Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben and Cream of Wheat.
They have to be removed.
They have to be removed. The Martin Luther King's goal, people don't know this, get all black people off packaging. That was the big dream.
That was his main dream.
I have a dream. He never got to it to finish it off. But right. I have a dream that we will no longer see the Cream of Wheat guy. Cream of Wheat. That was the speech.
Wow.
The original draft. I think Glenn has it in the museum. The original draft said, no more rice, no more pancakes, no more Cream of Wheat. That is my dream. He took that part out. He got bought off by the Cream of Wheat people, I think.
So no more pancakes or the syrup that you pour on.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And Mrs. Butterworth, she's gone. She's toast.
Dang it.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
That's the way. You just, you know what? Only a racist society would have multiple different races on their packaging to sell products. That.
Right?
Like, and of course, we should also note, as I have many times, but I cannot get over it, the market research on Aunt Jemima, it's almost entirely used as a product by African Americans. It is amazing. Among the most popular items in the grocery store for African Americans.
It's beloved.
It's beloved by African Americans. Their scores on like the favorability, you know, they do these market research reports where they say, okay, you know, scale of 1 to 100, how much do you like Aunt Jemima? It's off the charts for African Americans. And like everyone else is like, yeah, it's all right. And African Americans absolutely love it. We were like, we're getting rid of that product because white people are racist. And African Americans are like, well, I like my freaking pancakes.
Crazy.
It's incredible. It's like, crazy. Well, you don't understand, African Americans, how the racism works. We're gonna let us white splain to you how the racism operates.
And that's
operates.
Exactly what happened.
Exactly what happened. And it worked. They got rid of all those things. It's just unreal. Insane.
This is the Best of the Glenn Beck Program, and we really want to thank you for listening.
Hunter Biden said the other day on 60 Minutes that he doesn't know if that laptop is actually his laptop. You know, it
you
might
can't.
Be.
How
of
can
course,
you know?
It could be. But how would you know if you dropped it off at the place and left it there? How would you know that?
You wouldn't know where you left your laptop.
No.
Why would you keep track of the place where you leave laptops? I don't know. Hey, Pat, you know that piece of gum you had 3 weeks ago? Where's the wrapper?
I don't know.
Why would you know that?
Yeah,
you wouldn't keep track of it. It's the same thing with laptops. That's how
same
people
thing.
Are with laptops.
Laptops, iPads, you take them places, you just leave them there, and then you forget about it.
Yeah, you're not going to know.
Right?
You know, there's so many places you keep and store and give laptops away to. How could you possibly keep track of all
of
them?
Well, you can't.
It's a full-time job to know wherever you leave your laptops.
So it's logical to believe, well, maybe it was Russian hacking.
It's probably Russian hacking.
It's probably that.
Yeah. Of that laptop. Now, he doesn't know where it is, obviously. He can't keep track of it.
Well, especially not when the Russians are hacking it.
Right. Well, you have to assume wherever it is, they've hacked into it.
Yeah, right.
What other explanation could there be? I'll give you a couple of alternatives.
Either it's yours or it was hacked by Russians. There's two... explanation.
So it was hacked by Russians would be the number one most likely thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Number two, it was stolen from you. Number three,
then taken to a place and left.
And there. Left.
Yeah.
Number three, aliens came down from planet Zarkon or somewhere.
Yeah.
Took your laptop.
Okay.
And gave it to the IT place, you know, so they could fix it up. And then, of course, number four.
Because they realized there was a virus on it or
something?
Yeah,
like they just didn't,
They don't know how to fix it?
No,
they're
not.
So they took it to the IT
They're from another planet. Why would they know how to fix a laptop?
Well, they wouldn't.
Right? So they bring it to a Mac fixer.
What, do you think they're big-time tech people or something?
I don't think so. And then finally, the least likely explanation, you happen to be a crack-addicted weirdo that cannot remember where they...
Where you were so high
when you got off the train that happens to be a couple of miles away from this particular establishment that you stumbled over there and left it there and almost sunk your dad's presidential hopes because you were on so many drugs. Like, that's the outlying possibility.
That's a ridiculous possibility, though. That's the ridiculous, outlandish, way out there left field explanation.
Now, could it be true?
Sure.
Of course, certainly. Most certainly. Yes, 100%
it could be true. Yeah, obviously.
I mean, that's a stupid question.
Of course it could be true.
If I were to say to you right now, where's your car, Pat? You'd have no idea.
I don't know.
You don't know where it is. You could have left it anywhere.
I mean, I parked it at 2:30 this morning.
Now,
that was a long time ago.
Now, where is it now?
I don't know.
Did Russians hack it? How do we know?
Probably.
How do we know? Maybe Russians hacked it and moved it. Right? We don't know.
It could possibly
be that you did so many drugs this morning
that
you forgot where you parked your car.
Right.
It's
now,
possible.
I could go out there and it's right where I left it. But we don't know that.
We don't know that. We're inside.
Until I go out there.
I haven't been out
there for 6-7 hours.
Right.
So I don't know.
How could you know?
The other thing Hunter Biden has no recollection of, other than his laptop, is meeting the stripper who later gave birth to his child.
How many strippers do you meet and impregnate on a daily basis? Thousands? Hundreds?
If I may, can I use the words of Jeff Fisher? Who among us? First of all, who among us hasn't met a stripper and then forgot about it and then she gave birth to your child?
Right.
It's happened
to so many people.
It's happened once.
It's one of those things that is, it's more common than almost any activity a human engages in.
Right.
Meeting a stripper, impregnating them, and then forgetting about the whole thing. Like, it happens so often to so many people. Yeah. You want to talk about a pandemic. Mm-hmm. I'd say there's a pandemic of meeting strippers, impregnating them, and then forgetting about the entire incident.
Yeah, I'm so sick of it.
It's
I'm so sick of hearing about
common.
It.
It's so common. You know, you get 20, 30 emails a day. Hey, remember me? I'm from voluptuousbabes.com, and we met at that strip club, and then we hooked up, and then I gave birth to a child.
And it's yours.
And it's yours. I get 20, 30, 40 of those a day. I can't keep track of them all. And you know what? There's only two explanations as to why those emails are there. I actually did these things, or Russians have hacked my computer. I don't know which one it is.
You don't know which one.
I want to blame the Russians for it, but I'm not sure.
You were so whacked out on drugs and alcohol.
Well, yes,
how could you remember?
That's true.
How could you remember?
You can't remember these things. You have to understand that these products, drugs, are specifically designed to make you not forget what you do, or to make you forget what you do.
Yes.
So you don't remember them. You don't remember these moments. These are unimportant moments in your life, the birth of your child. You don't remember those things.
Correct.
They're not important to you, or the Russians hacked you.
Obviously. Obviously. So these are things written in his memoir.
Oh, good.
Beautiful things.
Why? Seriously,
beautiful
Pat.
Things that hits bookstores today.
Stepping out of the complete sarcasm mode we're in for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Why on earth is he writing a memoir?
I don't know.
Your dad is president of the United States. Have you not done enough damage to your dad's life and career?
You would think.
Why would you be writing a memoir to put yourself back in the news?
Right.
It is complete insanity. If you've watched the show Succession, you know, Hunter Biden is just Kendall. He's like one of the kids that like is just always screwing up and is always doing drugs and is always having these problems and is always putting the company in a negative light. And it's just who Hunter seems to be. I mean, just forget whether you think it's a good idea. Don't you owe your dad, who, by the way, is responsible for all of your success in life, him being vice president and senator, the only reason you've ever had a job.
Yeah.
Right? His willingness to cross the line into corruption and possibly illegal activity is the only reason you've ever had a job.
Yeah.
And you come out and release a memoir while he's president to put you back in the news cycle to what? Earn a few $100,000? I mean, it is completely insane. He must hate his father. I can't think of any reason why you would do this other than pure hatred for your dad.
It's a really good point. It really is. Because this doesn't make sense.
And I, as much as I don't like Joe Biden, and I don't think he's going to be a good president, and I think he's been terrible so far, and he's doing all of these things he's done for Hunter over the years have been borderline illegal, if not completely illegal. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'm not giving him a break on the idea that he's been a good guy in all of this. But, like, he's president of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you wanted to sink his presidency, why would you be doing this? I can't.
Doesn't make any sense.
After all the lines this guy has crossed for his son, I can't. I mean, it's oddly disrespectful.
He writes, "It's why I would later challenge in court the woman in Arkansas who had a baby in 2018 and claimed the child was mine. I had no recollection of our encounter. That's how little connection I had with anyone. I was a mess, but a mess I've taken responsibility for." Well, what he can remember anyway, because he hasn't taken responsibility for that laptop.
No, but he's taken responsibility for the Russian hacking that happened against him.
Right.
And that's really important.
That is important. It's important to blame the Russians for just about anything in your life.
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
Whenever I'm at home late, honey, the Russian hacked
hacking.
My car.
Hacking.
And it took me the wrong route home. Took me through Alabama. It took me through that Alabama strip club. That's where
Alabama,
it routed me.
Wow.
I didn't know.
And a strip club in
Alabama?
I
did notice it was a long drive to come home from work, but it routed me to a strip club in Alabama.
You didn't recognize the surroundings being a little bit different than you're used to?
Well, the Russians hacked the surroundings.
Oh,
I couldn't tell.
All right.
You know, that's the biggest thing. They hacked the windows, so it looked like I was in my neighborhood the entire time.
Wow.
And that, imagine my surprise when I walked into what I believed was my home and there were nude dancers on stages.
That's disturbing. That's when very that happens. Disturbing. I hate
Russians,
when that
these
happens.
Freaking Russians, man.
Yeah. Oh, man.
They're always, you know, they're always doing their Russia thing.
Yeah, they are.
And it screws my life up.
They hack so many different things and people.
Pat, the dozens. I can't overstate it. The thousands of strippers that have been impregnated by people in this country because of Russian hacking. It's a huge problem. People think we'd put our foot down. Yeah.
And hack back.
We're like,
at
hey,
least,
Vladdy.
Stop.
Come on, my man.
Stop.
Don't stop hacking us into hooking up with strippers.
Yeah. You would think Joe would say, come on, man.
Come on, man.
Stop it.
Yeah, stop it. It's just there's too much hacking here. Can you stop hacking us into this into this act where all these drugs get up noses and all these strippers get into certain beds with completely innocent people who've just been hacked?
Mm-hmm.
It's just unfair.
Mm-hmm.
And Vladimir Putin should stop it. Shame on you, Vladimir Putin, for all of your hacking of poor Hunter Biden.
Well, it's not nice. It's not a nice thing to do. It's not nice.
Now,
and he should be ashamed
now,
of himself.
Now, he enjoyed it at the time. He enjoyed the hacking of the impregnating the strippers at the time, but he doesn't remember that enjoyment.
No, he doesn't.
Because of the hacking.
Right.
A terrible, terrible time. It's unbelievable that he's writing this. It's almost to the level of If I Did It by O.J. Simpson. You know, you're just like, why would you do this? But I guess he wants to get, you know, he's trying to save his career and save his name and all of these things, which the media did a great job in helping him with. I mean, they didn't allow these stories even to come out.
That's
at
right.
The time.
And if they did come out, they were shut down immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, even the New York Post was shut off of Twitter because of it, right?
Yeah.
Because they posted a story on it.
Yeah, and there are times everybody gets fired up about the you know what big tech does on certain posts and stuff, and there are times it gets overdone even. But the banning of the New York Post, one of the oldest newspaper in the United States, their account over telling what seems to be the absolute truth about Hunter Biden and his laptop. He can't even deny it was the laptop. And to ban their account over that for NPR to come out and say we will not cover this because it's not news, it's fake.
It's unbelievable.
And then after the election, by the way, of course, that was obviously true. It really is one of the most egregious things I've ever seen in United States media. I mean, it is that bad. It is that bad.
I like this quote from the book too. This is the Hunter Biden book, Beautiful Things. I don't think I made a mistake in taking that spot on that board in Ukraine. I think I made a mistake in terms of underestimating the way it would be used against me.
Of course.
Oh, man. Yeah, because
that's sad.
It's other people who did him wrong.
Yeah.
In that particular situation where he had no experience and no reason to be on that board. But his dad got him the position and he made $50,000 a month, at least. Some have said much more than that. But he didn't make any mistake at all by accepting that position.
Of course not. Now look, in a normal situation, if someone offers you a really good job with lots and lots of money for no responsibility, you're going to be excited about that. When your dad's a senator or vice president, and you need to really kind of consider what the ramifications of that decision are, number one. And number two, why are you getting that role? You're not getting that role because you're special. You're getting the role because you're, again, utilizing your dad's name to cash in. That should have been the name of the book. How to utilize your dad's name to cash in. Because that's been the life story of Hunter Biden from the beginning. He's done it all over the place, over and over again. And he's now done it to a point where he's doing it again with his book. And it really is inexplicable to me.
And I like this because we were talking about him forgetting whether the laptop was his. And, well, do you remember dropping it off? He answers that question in the book. No, he can't recall if he dropped off the MacBook Pro that was left there.
Yeah, he's really doing the amnesia defense from every bad soap opera.
Every single thing. Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember. I was too drugged up. Like, I'll admit my drug use. That gives me an out on everything, which is not how the world works. Although it does seem to be how the world works lately.
Yeah.
But it's not supposed to be how the world works.
Certainly there could be a laptop out there that was stolen from me that could be that I was hacked. It could be it was Russian intelligence. It could be that it was stolen from me. I love that quote. Well, he covered a lot of ground there. He covered a lot of could be's. Or it could be just that it was your laptop and you forgot about it because you were on drugs. The New York Post got a hold of what was in it.
Which is plausible with Hunter Biden, but almost no one else. I remember when I first heard, wait a minute, you're saying Hunter Biden brought a laptop with all of this incriminating information to an IT guy to get the hard drive free and forgot about it and left it there and eventually got to the point where it was no longer his property because he left it there for so long. And he left it in seemingly a Republican's hands.
Doesn't seem like that could happen.
It doesn't seem possible. But it with Hunter Biden, all is possible. With Hunter Biden,
I mean, it obviously happened.
With Hunter Biden hooking up with a random stripper in Alabama, impregnating her and supposedly forgetting it is possible. Hooking up with your deceased brother's wife is possible. Coming back and returning a rental car with lines of coke on the dashboard is possible. It's all possible with Hunter.
Yeah.
And that's why we just don't understand why he would write this book at this time. I mean, it's nice to see that we're getting some answers on it, but it's got to be embarrassing for the media who acted as if this was insane at the time. I don't know if it's just embarrassing or they just didn't care. It's probably that one. They just didn't care and just went ahead with a scheme that was sort of predetermined, but
well,
it's pretty bad.
They didn't want to do anything that could be perceived as helping Donald Trump.
Yep.
They wouldn't cover anything.
That was the priority.
Yeah. They were not about to allow him to win again. And they made sure by not covering anything. Amazing.
Amazing. It really is amazing. And you can't overstate how bad the media has been at certain points in this. The Hunter Biden thing was really, really bad. This Georgia law is incredibly bad. This Ron DeSantis thing on 60 Minutes, individually, might be one of the worst I've ever seen. I mean, they just created out of whole cloth a bizarre scandal that on its face seems ridiculous.
With the Publix
scandal.
Yeah.
Publix
that they supposedly paid him so much money that he gave them the distribution of the vaccine.
Now, of course, they're a very common grocery store chain everywhere in Florida.
It would be like Governor Abbott giving Kroger or Tom Thumb in Texas.
Yeah.
The
Stop
vaccine
and Shop
to,
in the Northeast.
To distribute. Right?
Like whatever it is, whatever your local grocery store that dominates your area, just picking that one and being like, well, they're all over the place. Let's give it to them and give it to CVS and Walgreens and other places that are all over the place. And they said so they signaled out a couple of donations from people who worked at Publix, like their former CEO.
Gave $25,000, was
it? Like that is like any material reason for him to do anything.
No.
Again, he's a big politician. He's the governor of one of the biggest and most economically powerful states in the union. He's going to react over $100,000 of donations over multiple years to do something that is overwhelmingly sane and documented not even done correctly. They didn't even get the story right in the first place. Bizarre.